This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Today I would like to draw your attention to a verse in the Bible that most Christians don't believe. Now, you may be saying already, wait a minute. If you're a real Christian, you believe the whole Bible. Let me just take a quick poll. How many of you believe this book from cover to cover? Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. But let me tell you something. My observation is that in practice, there are many parts of the Bible that Christians don't believe. Because you see, in the Bible, believe means more than just intellectual assent. Belief in the Bible has to do with action. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. But how did Abraham demonstrate his belief in God? God said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, take him up on the mountain, put him on an altar and sacrifice him to me. So what did Abraham do? The next morning he got up early, the Bible says, took his son up the mountain, had the knife up in his hand, ready to bring it down. When God stopped him. You see, Abraham believed God, but his belief was reflected in his action. James says, faith without works is dead. And so there's no use saying, I believe, unless you put some action to your belief. How many of you here believe that God loves you? Let me just see. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that a great truth? But let me ask you this. Do you always base your actions and your responses on the fact that God is a loving Father who is always watching over you to protect you and provide for you and who will make sure that you never lack for any good thing? Is that the way you always act? Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But how many times do we feel forsaken? Come on, you can be honest. You ever feel forsaken? Ever feel like, Lord, where are you? Amen? And in those times when we feel forsaken, what is it that we normally do? We as human beings, even though we are Christians, many times we base our actions more on what we feel than on what we know. And so even though we say we believe in God, we believe He's good, many times we don't act like it. Well, let me show you the verse I'm talking about today. The one that I say most Christians would say they believe, but in action, they don't show they believe it. It's Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Part of our text passage for today. This is what it says. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. Let me see. Amen. How many of you believe this verse? Amen. Well, we will see. Because think about it. If we really believe this verse, whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we will receive. If we really believe this verse, we would never worry about anything. Isn't that right? We wouldn't worry. What would we do? Pray. Praise God. We would never be afraid. We would never be filled with anxiety about our circumstances. We would meet even the most threatening situation with peace and rejoicing in the Lord. If we really believe that all we have to do is pray, believing, and God's going to answer our prayer. Can we get honest here for a moment? How many of us worry sometimes? Let me just see. Amen. How many of us have anxiety sometimes? How many of us sometimes look at our circumstances and we start to get a little fearful about what's happening in our lives? Let me just see. Amen. I think I got the right message today, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, the Word of God says that we can count on the fact that if we pray as children of God, believing, we will receive. Well, we need to understand this, don't we? We need to know how to put this into effect in our lives. Because if this verse is really true, it is one of the most important facts in the whole world. Well, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture to begin to understand how it is that we can put our confidence in what this verse of Scripture tells us. We're in Matthew chapter 21. Let me read verses 18 and 19 to set the stage. Jesus and his disciples had been walking in the country one day, and Jesus looked and saw a fig tree. And here's what happened, starting with verse 18 of Matthew 21. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately, the fig tree withered away. Now, I don't know if you get how strange this is. I remember reading some stories that were written in Bible times, in New Testament times. People trying to pass them off as if they were part of the Bible of the New Testament. And yet you could read that story and know it really wasn't part of the Bible. One of them said something like this: little boy Jesus, when he was a little child, was walking down one day, and a couple of other boys started getting on him, throwing rocks at him and so forth. And you know what Jesus did according to this story? He just called down fire from heaven and zapped them, and they fell dead. How many of you believe that that story should be in the Bible? Does that even sound like Jesus? No. Jesus cursing people? No. What do we know? Jesus loves me. Amen. Now think about how strange this story that's in the Bible is. Jesus saw a fig tree. He was hungry. He wanted some figs. The fig tree didn't have any figs, so Jesus cursed it. And it died, dried up from the roots. What is going on here? Well, one of the advantages of going to school, going to seminary, if you don't even understand anything, at least they'll give you some big words for it. This is what is called an enacted parable. An enacted parable. A parable is a story that is told to make a point. Remember the Good Samaritan, for example? The prodigal son? Those were parables that Jesus told in order to make a point that we might learn. Well, an enacted parable is a parable where you don't tell the story, you do it. You act it out. So Jesus was enacting or acting out a parable. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Matthew 21. Look at what it is that Jesus was accomplishing when he cursed that fig tree and had it dry up from the roots. Matthew 21, 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Do you see what Jesus was doing? He wasn't just cursing a fig tree. He was giving his disciples a parable about faith. Hallelujah. He said, "Look at what I did to this fig tree. I didn't just do it because I don't like fig trees. I want you to understand that if you have faith and do not doubt, you can do exactly the same thing. You can speak to the fig tree and see it dry up. But even beyond that," hallelujah, how many of you have a fig tree in your backyard? Nobody has a fig tree in your backyard. Okay, let's take it to the next step. Jesus said, "Forget about fig trees. Not only can you speak to the fig tree, you can speak to the mountain and see it removed and cast into the sea. Now, how many of you have some kind of mountain of circumstance going on in your life right now? Amen? You may not have a fig tree, but I know you got some mountains. And Jesus said that if you have the kind of faith that he demonstrated when he spoke to that fig tree, you can speak to your mountain and see the mountain move. That's what this whole thing was all about. Jesus was teaching his disciples about faith. We live just a few miles from Three Mile Island, the nuclear power plant. Millions of watts of electricity are generated over there. But do you know what makes it possible for us to make use of that electricity? Between us and Three Mile Island, between these lights and that generating plant, there are miles of cable that bring that power to us. And catch it, without the cable, it wouldn't matter how much electricity was generated over there, it wouldn't do us any good. Amen? Faith is the cable that connects between God's sufficiency and our need. How many of you know God has all power? Amen? El Shaddai, the Almighty One. Amen? What is it that God can't do? There is nothing that he can't do. What is it that God will not do for you if you are his child? Nothing. Amen? But what is it that connects us to that source of ultimate power? Faith, praise God. Faith is the conduit. Faith is the cable that allows the power of God to flow into our lives. It is the link between God's power and our need. Jesus is telling us two things about the power that's released by faith. Look again at Matthew 21, 22. Verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. Whatever things. Now, whatever, what does that word whatever mean? Anybody have any idea what the word whatever means? Anything. Anything. Anything that you ask in prayer, if you can believe, Jesus says, we will receive. So number one, the thing that he's telling us is that the power released by faith is unlimited. There are no limitations to it. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Look at this. How many of you know that God, there's nothing impossible for God? Anybody know that? Let me see. Nothing impossible for God. Amen? Watch this verse. Matthew 17, 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Catch it. Catch the next verse here. Catch the next sentence. And nothing will be impossible for God, for you. Oh yes, we know that God has all power. Amen? But look at what Jesus is saying. If we have the kind of faith that he's talking about, he says nothing will be impossible for us. Praise God. Now, are you starting to see how deep this verse is? Are you starting to understand why it is that I say that even though most Christians say they believe the word of God, when push comes to shove, I don't see a whole lot of Christians acting like they believe this verse. Amen. Understand, this kind of faith can change your world. That fig tree was a real tree. It was a physical object in the world. And because of faith, Jesus spoke to that tree and changed it. Now, you got something going on in your life right now. You may have something going on in your body right now. You may have something going on in your family, something going on the job. Guess what? If Jesus said we can speak to a mountain, can't you speak to your situation? Can't you speak to your situation and see it move? Whatever you need to have done, God has made us the promise that through faith, he can do it. But look again at what it says in Matthew 21, 21. Let me read that verse again, and let's read it carefully so we don't miss anything. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith," okay, we got that, "and do not doubt, you will not only do what is done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Understand, the thing that gets in the way of us as Christians seeing that power of faith work out in our lives is that five-letter word, D-O-U-B-T. What is it?
Doubt.
Doubt. Jesus said, you have to have faith. You have to believe. And what? Do not doubt. Do you know what doubt is? Let me tell you how doubt operates. I talked about the power that comes from Three Mile Island. That's why all of these lights are here, are on, because of the power being transmitted to us. But you know what I could do? My background is an electrical engineer. I spent more than 4 years in college, 6 years as a matter of fact, with graduate school. So I can tell you this, and you can believe me, about how electricity works. I could go get a screwdriver, a couple of screwdrivers, go over to one of these outlets, stick the screwdrivers in there, and then cross them so they touch. Anybody have any idea what'll happen? You didn't even need a degree in electrical engineering for that, did you? What did I do? I shorted the circuit. And when I short the circuit, what? The power cannot flow through. That's what doubt does to your faith. Your faith is the cable that connects you to the power of God. But doubt is like a short circuit. It diverts the power and it never gets to where it's supposed to go. And so Jesus said, look, you can speak and see the mountain move, but you must not doubt. Think about how Jesus operated. Remember when he came to Lazarus? Lazarus had died. In fact, Lazarus had been 4 days in the grave. And Jesus came and wanted them to move the stone away from the grave. And remember what Lazarus' sister said? Oh, I love this because, you know, the Bible is real. She said, but Lord, it's been 4 days. He's stinking by now, Lord. Didn't faze Jesus at all. Remember what Jesus did? He said, move that stone away. And then he stood there and he spoke, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what happened? Amen. Anybody remember that picture of the mummy? You see that? That's what Lazarus must have been like, because they had him all wrapped up. And he got up when he heard that voice from Jesus, came out of that grave. I don't know if he was going like this or what. But when Jesus spoke to him, even though he was 4 days dead, what? The man got up, praise God. You see, Jesus spoke the word of authority. When he spoke to the mountain, it was with absolute authority. It never crossed his mind that Lazarus wasn't coming out of that grave. If you go read the account, you'll see that Jesus didn't even pray in the sense that we pray. He didn't go, oh, Father, please bring this man forth so everybody can see that I'm your son. No, all he did was say, God, I give you thanks that you always hear me. And then, Lazarus, get on up out of there, praise God. He spoke with authority. And what he's telling us is that if we can speak to the circumstances, to the mountains in our lives with the same authority, they have to move. They have to move. I remember a couple of years ago now, not far from here, just over there, I was driving in my car, came to a stoplight, and I looked over on the sidewalk and there were three young men. I have never seen three more evil-looking guys in my life. I mean, they just looked like, if you look at them wrong, they'll take you out. So you know what I did, of course. Thank you, Lord. I kept on driving. Amen. Amen. But you know, there's one circumstance in which instead of keeping on driving, I could have got out of my car and I could have got those three guys looking evil like they were looking and said, I want all of you to line up against the wall and show me some ID. What would be that circumstance? If I had on a blue suit with a badge here and a gun here. Amen. Because what do that badge and that gun give me? Authority. Authority. If you have authority, you can stand up and speak to any situation. So now, as a Christian facing some mountains in your life that need to be moved, where do you get the authority to speak to that and know that it's going to move? Well, let me give you a hint. Go over to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Where do you get the kind of faith that can allow you to speak to the mountains in your life and know that God is going to move that mountain out of your life for you? Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of you believe that if I wanted to, I could climb up to the top of this building, step over the side of the roof, and float gently to the ground? How many of you believe that? I'm not getting any takers here, amen? Now, understand, I would reach the ground, but it would not be gentle. Amen? Catch it. I don't have the power to keep myself from going splat when I reach the ground. No matter how much I love Jesus, amen, if I step off that roof, splat. But catch it. How many of you know that God could just speak the word, get two angels, now they would be big angels, but two angels to come and take me under each arm and gently bring me down? Amen? Can God do that? Amen. Amen. You wouldn't even see the angels, so you'd be going, how did he do that? Catch it. As long as it's me, I can't do anything. On my authority, I don't have the authority to say, I'm going to get up on the roof and float to the ground. I can't make it happen. I have no authority for that. But suppose I opened up the Word and I saw in the Word of God that if you pray to God in the name of Jesus for him to let you float down from the roof, it shall be done. Do I have authority? If the Word of God says it, what? It's the truth. Now, please, everybody understand. Kids, understand, there's no prayer in the Bible that says you can climb up on the roof and jump off. Amen? Amen. So please, do not do this. That was just an example, an illustration. Amen? Amen. But the point is simply this. If God said it in his word, it is the truth. It is the truth. And let me just give you an aside for a moment. This is not part of the message today. But if you are following Christ, if you are serving him, there are going to be some times in your life when God will ask you to do something that will seem like he's telling you to step off the roof. And you'll be going, oh God, but how can I do that? I will go splat. And he's saying, just trust me, step on out, and I'm going to bring you safely to where you need to be. Now, here's the point of all of that. If you're going to speak to your circumstance, your situation, your mountain, and see it moved, you've got to have authority, and you do not have that authority in yourself. The only place that authority comes is from the Word of God. I remember in my mom's house in Tennessee, when I was cleaning it out, I wanted to put some stuff or get some stuff out of the attic. And there was a ladder there to go up into the attic. And so I put the ladder under where the entrance to the attic was, and I started up the ladder. And some of you guys, you know what it's like. You get on the first rung of the ladder, and okay, it's kind of okay. You get on the second rung of the ladder, things starting to feel a little bit shaky. And by the time you get to the third rung of the ladder, you're going, this is not worth it. Amen. Amen. And so I never did get up to the attic. You see, I needed a ladder, but my ladder did not have the strength to support my weight, to take me up to where I needed to be. Now, you know what most of our problem is as Christians, why we can't believe this verse? That ladder is like our faith. Amen? And for most of us, our faith does not have the strength it needs to support us so that we can reach up and connect with God's power. And when we try, we start getting shaky. Amen? How many of you believe that God can cure a headache? Anybody believe God can cure a headache? Amen. Do you ever pray for God to cure you when you have a headache? Amen. Praise God. All right. How many of you believe that God can cure cancer?
Amen.
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 Amen. But let me tell you something. It is easier to believe God to cure a headache than it is cancer. And you know why? A four-letter word, fear. Amen. Just like doubt short-circuits your faith, fear tries to short-circuit your faith. And when you want to believe God, let me tell you what. A headache is like the first rung of the letter. Amen? I can believe that. But by the time I get up to cancer, I'm starting to get shaky. I need a firm foundation. Amen? And the Word of God is the foundation upon which my ladder of faith can rest, so that I can move up and connect to God. Go over to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Here's the thing that I can know about God. When I start putting my ladder of faith on its foundation so that I can reach up and connect to God's power to deal with my circumstance in life, this is what I can know about what God tells me in His Word. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. Look at this. God is not a man that he should lie,
Amen.
Nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? Do you see it? If God has spoken it, is he a liar? No, he has never lied. He has never not followed through on what he has promised to do. And so I have that assurance based on the Word of God. If I find it in the Word, if it applies to me, if it's the promise of God that's for me, I can stand on it. It is a firm foundation. And therefore, if you are facing a circumstance in your life that you need to have dealt with, you need God to move in that situation on your behalf, the first thing you need to do is to go get some word on that situation. You need to find out what promise has God made in His Word that you can stand on. You see, there are promises in the Word that I can stand on and know that when I take that promise and apply it, speak it into the circumstance of my life, God has promised He's going to move.